Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
International Women's Day was celebrated yesterday. And for the entire week thus far, we've been having several discussions with various persons on the issue, finding out exactly who they are, going behind the scenes, dealing with some of the issues confronting women in our country and across the world. And today we continued discussions like those, and we welcome to our program someone who's been here before. It's been a long time since she was last year, that's for sure. And we welcome back to our show here this morning, attorney at law, Michaela Pandey. Good morning to you, and welcome to our program.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you and to Tremant Vago. Yeah, it's been some time since you invited me.
I think it's actually been a year.
More than that.
Okay.
Don't forget, we had COVID situation and lockdown, so you forgot about me didn't invite me anymore.
We could never forget about you here, that's for sure. And it's nice that you accepted the invitation this morning. The discussion that we've been having all week long focuses on behind the scenes. And Michaela Pandey, your name is well known for many, many, many reasons. And today we want to go behind the scenes, behind the titles, behind the political leader, the lawyer, to find out a bit about Michaela Pandey and some of what you've been involved in and some of the things that have affected who you are, where you are. And then we'll get to some of the issues of today and how we treat them moving forward.
Sure.
I remember when you were here last time, one of the questions I posed to you, and probably I'll pose it again for people who have probably missed that interview. You grew up in a family that was always in the public limelight for one reason or another. Your father, of course, a trade unionist, and from trade unionism went into politics and had a blazing trail. And even up to this week, Basdeo Pandey is very much in the news. And as one of the most prominent children of Basdeo Pandey, he has others, but you are more in the forefront, you're more in the public domain for whatever reason. All of the activities and events and developments surrounding your father, one way or the other, would have had an impact on you. But let's go a little bit before that and tell us about Michaela Pandey growing up in a home with a man as, I don't want to say flamboyant, but as integral to the nation's national development, to some of our political history. Tell us what that was like.
Well, you know, a lot of people are sometimes shocked by the fact that it was pretty normal. I mean, definitely when we were younger, I have three sisters, and you're right, they're not in the limelight. And in fact, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they really don't like politics. And being part of that and the negative things that perhaps come with it. But I have to say, my mom is, and my grandma's, I mean, they're fabulous, fabulous, strong women. And we were very protected. We knew what dad was doing, and we understood why he, you know, physically couldn't always be there, and his duties and responsibilities and what he was fighting for. So, you know, like everyone else, you do your extracurricular activities, you have school, you have homework and your life, you go outside, you play, that kind of thing. I guess when you start to, forgive me, when you start to get a bit older and realize sort of what's happening, it can be difficult, but I think you are who you are. You were born where you've been born. And for me, I guess your parents explaining that from a very young age, sort of it's what feels normal to you. Are you treated differently? Yes, but I don't like to always focus on the negative. There are many positive things of being, you know, daughters of an absolutely great man. And I've said to so many different people, I've never sort of felt that, I think I could speak for my sisters, that we never walked in our father's shadow, we walk in his light. I am extremely proud of everything he's done. And you're right, to this day, he's extremely loved by so many people in this country, and people see how, you know, his decisions that he made improved their lives and their children's lives. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. You don't always focus on the negative. But of course, in terms of me, I chose to also do this. So I own it. I'm not going to sit there and complain. If I tomorrow morning, this morning, I can decide, look, this is not something I want to do, and come out completely. But it is something I've decided to do, and I know what comes with it. And I also know that politics is an extremely nasty, dirty thing. And what I've done is just try to focus on what I'm doing, and not really listen to the noise in the background and have good family and friends and people who love you and love you. And I mean, you soldier on. Everybody has their own trials and tribulations they go through, especially now with social media. Sometimes it's not easy. I think sometimes I struggle. I think about young people, you know, what they probably go through. Yeah. You're being judged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Definitely.
It doesn't stop.
I mean, Mr. Pandey still carries with him an air that is respected by so many people, regardless of all that has happened. When you are in Mr. Pandey's presence, it is almost godlike reverence that some people still have for him. And that's an amazing thing to have to maintain after such a long period of time and the many things that have happened. In an interview that he had recently, he said that, and I mean, we can't get away from some of the things that are in the public domain, he said that he has to reconstitute his life. And that's a powerful statement if you understand what it entails. A man who was so significant to this country's political trajectory was dealt a blow that, well, there are some who are saying that he's been exonerated. There are others who don't want to go that far. But regardless of how you slice it, Basil Pandey is no longer facing the matter that he was facing for 19, 20, how many ever years ago. I'm going to ask you a question here that would look behind the scenes as to how this matter was handled. And you can answer if you choose to or not. I'll respect it. But to have such a development take place where your father is arrested. I tried to put myself in the position. I have a daughter. She's 12. We're on 13. And I have another one who was just born. But I'm saying to him, if I were arrested, how would that impact my child? What would she have to go through? Because the world today is a very, very mean place. And I'm assuming that it would have been the very same thing 20 years ago. What was that like, having to go through that experience back then?
It was horrific. It was absolutely horrific. And you have to continue to do it to face the public and listen to the lies. And things that are being said on the media, things being said on the board, and you have to hold your head up with grace and dignity, which is what we did. But I mean, we're human beings. It doesn't matter how popular somebody is. It doesn't matter how famous somebody is. None of it is. We're all human beings. And we all have our homes and live lives. We have our parents and our children and your children, as we said, we've got your kids. And things affect us more or less the same way. We don't have superpowers. So I can tell you it was horrific. It was 19 years of my life, and my sister's life, and mother's life. And you know what the worst part is? You're the first person I'm speaking to because I intend to draft a statement, but I think you must not draft. The strings are still running high. So you're the first person I've spoken to about it. Because please remember, when a matter's going on, you can't speak. Mm. Everybody else can speak. And everybody else can say what they want to do. And the media, some factions of the media, can almost trial by media before anyone knows what's happening. And you can't say anything. And to me, that was probably one of the most difficult things to see your father, your parents, both your parents going through something, and to know that you can't say anything. But, you know, we are very, very, very close as a family. We speak to each other. no one else, you know, can almost relate to what's happening. And everybody thinks they do, though. And you have radio programs and TV programs, and you have all these things, and people judge you and as if they know exactly what's happened. And that happens in all aspects of life. But I will tell you, I was in my 20s. I'm in my 40s now. It's a huge segment and part of my life, you know. But it's gone, but I still think things, at least on behalf of my family, sort of need to be said and cleared up. And I intend to do that because as a young girl, it has all kinds of trickle-down effects in your life. So, yes, at the same time, I have to say that it's you almost feel numb. And, you know, it's not like you're jumping up for joy. You're happy. You know, a burden's been lifted, but it kind of just is like this calm that's you can't explain almost to anybody who hasn't gone through it. And what I believe my father meant when he said, you know, he has to reconstitute it, because you have this parked up in your head regardless of what you do. You can have good times, you can have celebratory times. But it's always there. It's always hanging. And if you don't trust the system, you never know how it's going to go. Perhaps had it been in another country, you would have a better idea of predicting what could happen and what, you know the evidence and you know what it is. You can't do this in this country. I don't believe that. I think I didn't get a chance to do the thing that we're hearing that the justice system is about to collapse. I think it may have already. So, it was horrific. It was difficult. It was challenging. But what kind of days? You know, you take it on the shoulder and you sort of you go on with life. Life has to continue, and you have your good days and your bad days. And all I can say is that I'm happy that we did the right thing, and it wasn't a windfall that was given to us. It was something that should have been done years ago. It should never even have happened in the first place. But you know, whatever it is, it's happened, and we move on. And I can speak for my father, and I can speak for my family. We're really happy that you know that it's over.
Yeah, I can imagine. But no, actually, you know what? I can't begin to imagine what this would have been like for such a prominent family to have to deal with. And it's not like you had to deal with it for a year or two to get a resolution, and then you deal with the consequences. It dragged on. And Mr. Pandey said some things, Ishwar Galbaran Singh said some things, the DPP has been saying some things that make you really question what's going on with the system. And we have you here today to speak about International Women's Day, and I'm trying to focus as much as we can on how this has impacted on you as a young lady growing up, having to deal with challenges that the average individual may never, ever have to confront. And you've done a pretty good job for yourself. You're excelled in the field of law. You're well-respected. You now move on. You have your own political party. You've been involved in several charities. But let me ask you another question here, that as a result of what transpired, do you think that you were denied opportunity because of that?
Can you just ask that question?
If you've been denied opportunities in all aspects of your life, politically, in your law, in other elements, as a result of what transpired, do you think that you were on the back foot and that you, even though it wasn't directly you, you paid a price?
Of course. I think that my sisters did as well. And a very, very, very heavy price too. You see, people just look at the positive aspect and you think that, you've been born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Can't everybody
know? Okay. For some strange reason, you sounded just a bit muffled, and it's a bit difficult to hear. Yeah.
Sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me better?
Yes, we're hearing you better now.
Yes, sorry, my dear. Yes, of course. It has been very, very difficult, and I think not just for me, I think for my sisters, I was saying to you that people feel, you know, because of your surname, you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and they never, ever look at the downside to it. In terms of work, oh, definitely, definitely. We have, I mean, I could probably write a book in the way that how people treat you, the way of whether people want to associate with you. People feel threatened sometimes by you. So many things, so many different things. But, you know, you just take it on the shoulder and you soldier on and find your way forward. I feel it has been difficult also being a female, I have to tell you, and I'll tell you that in politics. It is very different. We are judged, women are judged very differently. I am not a feminist, so let me just make that very clear. I don't practice victimhood either in any way or form, but it has been difficult, and it is the truth. I, for example, I'm not treated in the same way that Brian Manning is treated or Faris is treated. I'm never asked the same questions that the boys are asked, you know. But like I say, I deal with it, and it gives me an opportunity to answer and to speak. But yeah, it's difficult. You look at, I'll tell you something, my friend. You look at this recent drama with these men in the UN who made an apology because they were on the street behaving badly. And then we see Mr. Duke in some kind of crazy Facebook drama and all of this. If that was a woman, you think the reaction would have been the same? Never. It would have absolutely never been the same. We would not have been treated the same way by the media. We would not have been treated the same way by the public. The names that we probably would have been called. So yeah, it's difficult. But other people go through things as well. You know, I don't want to say that I, you know, sort of part of so much harder than everybody else. But of course, it's difficult. But what do you do about it? Do you lie down and die? Or just say, well, I give up and say, well, you know, go on taking drugs and make nothing of your life? Or do you stand up and say, well, listen, this is what it is, and we soldier on? And that's what we have chosen to do. My younger sister used to work here and had to leave. Just by the way being treated, you know, by these companies, I'll give you a quick example. She's doing two people's jobs. She's extremely intelligent. She won a scholarship. She went to Stanford University. She is a supersonic, brilliant kid. She's doing two people's job, but when you have to meet the client, she's not allowed to meet the client. All kinds of crazy, crazy, crazy things. But at the same time, I also have another sister who is in the Defense Force. She's in the Air Guard. And yesterday, she got a promotion to the equivalent of major. She soldiered on. That hasn't been easy being there. So, you know, you do what you have to do. You do what you have to do. And you focus and you move forward. I've never looked at it as any other option.
Yeah.
Just do what you got to do.
And, you know, that's it. The resilience that you're speaking of, that you were forced to embrace, and your sisters and your family, because of what transpired, is a resilience that is within women that shines through at their toughest times. And I've seen it in many instances. And in this job, I've been able to speak to women in all sorts of circumstances. And regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the social standing of the individual, that resilience is there. And it comes, it's almost as, I don't want to say it's a defense mechanism, but it's a coping mechanism that women have. Because there are sometimes that some situations that would frustrate men that women can deal with. And it's that resilience. And as we speak about International Women's Day, I think women need to be commended for being able to treat with matters that some men really can't deal with, that's for sure. We are speaking this morning with our special guest, Attorney at Law Michaela Pandey. We've been delving a bit into the past, and after a couple of messages, when we get back, we'll be opening our phone lines, taking a couple of calls, and we're going to look at the present. Some of the things that you're involved in now, And then, of course, we'll look to the future. This is the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
18 minutes before 8. With us here this morning, our special guest, as we continue to focus on International Women's Day, Michaela Pandey, attorney at law. I'm taking some of your calls if you'd like to join the discussion. 627-323-625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Satish, and morning to Ms. Pandey. I always admire Mr. Pandey and your family. I know that her daughter, I believe, when you asked her the question, right, maybe she could have been more into our politics, but because of the comments that are taking place in different parties like the UNC, I believe that she have a very good mind. She is very nice person, but the people in this country is so how to put it? They're so backward that they don't see the genuine in people then. And maybe she could, Ms. Pandey could do more to get to the people's mind, and maybe she could be a force to reckon with, because the name Pandey say a lot. I wish her all the best in whatever in Denver, which she have in mind to go through. And she knows that, and the Pandeys know that they have the support on outside there. And I want to say to her father that after so many years with this judicial system and come now, because it was very hard for the family and the victimization by the PNM government and the wickedness, right? We see that the judicial system is failing this country so much, and so many other institution is failing, and we have to do more. And Ms. Pandey, as an attorney, I believe she could take this forward to bring the judicial system into a better way that people could get justice, because there are people in there in prison waiting on trial for so long. Yes. And if it is that the DPP has see that they should look at it more and do something rather than have people suffering inside of there.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Satish.
Morning to you.
And morning to Mrs. Pandey, calling from Princeton.
Good morning, sir.
Mrs. Pandey, greetings and thanks for your ask. We discussing women and so on. Our women are suffering. Well, the whole nation is suffering. What are your plans to take us out of this morass, this political abyss that we have found ourselves in? We need a team of credible new young leaders to rescue this country. And I would like to make some contribution in that direction, but we need leadership. I want to know what is your plan to help us, help this nation at this time. Thank you, Princess Song.
Okay. Thank you. Just before you answer, let me take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello and good morning.
Good morning to you.
So I would like to say to Ms. Michaela, don't get discouraged. All this is a learning process. You know, experience is the greatest teacher. And as you at this position that you sit and you looked on, you keep courage and you understand where you have to go, who you are, where you come from, where's your history. I mean, you're a former prime minister, child, real leaders. Now, what I'd like to say to you now, we the law-abiding citizens who looked on and looking for a leader, for someone to lead us, we now know there is two parties, but what we are looking at now in each aspect, you need to take on the government, with this winner take all constitution, you need to ask the serious and relevant question. You see all these small, public gathering, and it won't help. You know, we are the citizens looking to see and ask. You need to ask the serious question. Ask the government in charge with that $58 billion. Ask them the serious question in all category. You need to make that representative. The mutual approach to the PNM is the wrong approach. You see, we, the citizens who have to vote now, we see that as weakness. We like to see leadership. You need to ask the serious question. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. We do have other calls, but let me get some responses from you from some of the positions put forward.
Well, we can go with the man. Who,
yeah, I think let's
start. Judgment at first.
Yes.
I think he says, you know, what are our plans? Well, first of all, I want to agree with both of them, and thank you so much for your contribution. And first caller, obviously, thank you so much for your kind words and support. That means more than you will ever know. I feel that the country is ready for change. I feel that, and I've said this before, that people are fed up of both political parties. There seems to be no form of succession or the involvement of the younger people within the parties, and therefore I feel that the vision of the parties haven't actually changed very much over the years. It worked when the party was formed, and it worked 20 years ago. I don't necessarily think that it works again, because we have moved on as a country. We have moved on as a world. People are very, very politically savvy now. I feel one of the things that we need to focus on before we, because you've got to get in there, be given a chance before you can do anything. There is an opposition. A lot of people don't feel that is a functioning opposition, or that they're holding the government to account in the way that they should be. And of course, we can do that as well, but being outside of the parliament is not always the easiest thing to do. But yes, we all can do that. I believe that the country is ready for something different. You are right, Satish. We have formed a political party. It's called the Patriotic Front. And again, we can't do what everybody else is doing. We have to hope and pray and encourage good people to come forward. And great people out there, brilliant people out there, brilliant technocrats out there, you know, they just don't want to get involved because they see how disgusting politics is and how horrible the mudslinging is, what it does to people's families. But I think we have young people now who are willing to get involved, and we've been chatting and working with them. And USA is great, but I also believe in experience. So you don't, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, you form a new party, but that doesn't mean that the good things that exist shouldn't stay. Trinidad will move forward when it gets rid of tribal politics, and I do not blame people for that. I don't blame our citizens for that. I blame political parties for that. They continue to divide people, treat people differently, not practice equality, still practicing discrimination. You can't hurt one half of the population without hurting the other. So, of course, when you've got to get out of the problem, you have to have accountability and transparency, and you have to have proper management. All that will get us out of it, you know. Manage the country properly. Manage the money as if it were yours. And get the right people there. Put the right people in positions. Not because somebody donated to your party, you have to give this son the chairman of a board. Not because of your partner, you have to do that. So there are many things. I don't think, I know people say, oh, we're in this marsh, we're in this terrible downward spiral, and I agree we are there, but I don't feel it is that we can't come out. I just don't think the right people exist there right now to do it. That doesn't mean that I hate them. If I hate them, it would take up too much of my energy and time. I don't hate anybody. I just don't think that they're the right people there at the time. I mean, we are so technologically backwards. Something as simple, you know, what about making people's lives easier, Satish, by solving the traffic problem? Why don't we make people's lives easier, right? We ain't even getting into crime yet, but by fixing the roads, we have a pitch lake. Yeah. Oh my God. You know, it is unbelievable. You talk about the DPP and the judicial system is going to collapse, but billions on both sides. They call them the million-dollar men. $1 billion admitted by Faris Al-Rawi and admitted by Anand Ram Logan was spent on lawyers. But the state doesn't have enough resources, and the state doesn't have enough human resource and financial resource. What madness is that? Really? Really? We don't have enough magistrates to deal with the crime situation. Let's look at something simple. You have a magistrate, this has happened to me before in Rahima Court, they start a little land matter. There was some commissioner of state lands or something that brought it. And you go and you're listening to a matter, the magistrate now gets moved to Sandy Grandy. That is now called a parkhood matter once it's been called. You know, until she comes back, that matter will stay forever. So, yeah, you have to have a vision for the country, what you want the country to be, where people have opportunity. Young people are coming out of university now with all the degrees, all the sacrifice mom, dad, grandma, everybody makes. And there are no entry-level jobs for them. So what they do? Try to go away. I want to go to Canada. I want to go there. I want to build other people's countries. You know, what is the reason to stay here? This country has so many problems, but then it's not that they don't have answers. Okay? Crime. We're talking about crime. Oh, what to do? Everybody have an answer for crime. You know, nobody's. And we have over 100 reports in the last 20 years that collecting dust, the amount of consultation, all this kind of thing. 2009, I sat in the parliament. I was in the opposition at the time. I was member of parliament for Earth Interest. I voted along with the rest of the party for the DNA legislation, 2009. Okay, you want to solve crime? You have to look at prevention of crime first. Then you have to look at detection of crime. And then you have to look at rehabilitation for those who can be rehabilitated. We, since the 1980s, when DNA and forensic science came on board, we now passed the act in we've not used any of it. We passed the act in 2009. 2023, we do have a DNA database. We do have a DNA lab. We have Commonwealth University, UV branches all over the place, University of Trinidad and Tobago, for people, our young people, to study forensic science and all this. Nothing. But we will put more police cars. And we'll do, I don't know, what normal thing, do more police station. The normal nonsense that you hear, bring back the death penalty. Well, that one really gets me because the death penalty is there. There's nowhere to bring it back to. Enforcing it might be a different situation because, of course, if someone is on death row for more than 5 years, there's a case to make them case, Pratt and Morgan, and what happens is it becomes cruel and inhumane to keep them on death row and then they go on for life. But the point is, the prison system, how much time the commissioner of prisons will tell you, it's not functioning. You have men in remand. Yeah, at one time it was a little joint for how long, and it's just crazy. So the plans to take you out, well, are numerous. You look at what the problems are, you find solutions to them. But then at the same time, what's your vision for the country? Country where people have opportunity. A country where you do have to pay a bribe for everything. A country where you do have to line up on Frederick Street in your hot sun with pothole to go on and renew your passport. A country where we can do things online. All the online things that the government has put in, at some stage you have to go to the office. At some stage you have to carry a passport. Those kinds of things. A country where the banking system like killing people with interest, you know, where things are fair. So we can live happily together. But they want to keep bases, you see? And if you keep bases, one has to hate the other. I gotta tell you, I don't think young people think like that anymore. Don't get me wrong, I understand why people feel the way that they have felt and how people were treated under the PNM government, the worst possible ways. But we have to decide, just like my family and me, it's happened. And now we have to create a future that is fair, where young people have opportunity and things, and we get jobs based on meritocracy, not because of who you know, of who your mommy and daddy is, and those kinds of things. And I'll tell you something, Trinidad will not just lead the Caribbean. It will do it for the world. People will look at us and can look at us and say, listen, look at this beautiful country. We don't kill each other based on religion. We live happily. We have great weather. We have some of the most fertile land. You throw anything and it grows. But people who are in positions of power don't care about people. They don't care about people. They don't care about people. Maybe many of them go in there with the right intention. But at the end of the day, when they're there, people are forgotten. And one of the things that I want to do and I will do is, it's one of uncle said, I think the second caller, you know, bridge the gap between the people and the politicians. We don't even look at politicians like normal people. Do they go to the grocery? Are they normal? Do they drive on the roads? Do they see what we're going through? Maybe not. People don't feel that they can. You see your politicians and you see your representatives and you go and you vote for them, and after that window up and they speed past you.
Mm-hmm.
People need representatives. They need to feel that they can speak. That's why people are angry. And that's why during the 5 years you're afraid to go, because they'll cuss you up. Why are they cussing you up?
We need to take a couple messages. News is next.
Forgive me.
I understand. I do. And we're going to delve a bit deeper into this, take some more calls in the 8 o'clock hour as well. I want to get into some of the organizations that you're involved in.
Thank you.
And some of the other work that you've been doing aside and apart from these very, very national things. Because as we've been saying for the entire week, trying to get to know the person behind the title, behind the headlines, the real individual, and some of what you're involved in. Our special guest here this morning, Michaela Pandey. News is next, and then following the news, we'll have our discussions for a bit again. Take some more of your calls on the Morning Rumble. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
4 minutes after eight, into the final hour of our show here this morning. With us still, our special guest, attorney at law, Michaela Pandey. To take a couple of your calls as we continue our discussion here, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course your WhatsApp messages. Feel free to send those to 306-1065. Before we went to the news, I was asking you about some of the other things that you're involved in, apart from the very public patriotic front and your political endeavors. I've been told that you're involved in a lot more, and you do have a passion for helping people. What are some of those things? Tell us about them.
Yeah, well, my mom had, this is 20-something years ago, and started a charity called Organization for Socioeconomic Development, OSED. And because the girls have gotten a little bit older, we younger ones have taken it over and trying to, you know, revive that. We've got a brilliant medical truck that almost works as a clinic. It can do, you know, minor operations and things like that. So we're in the process of raising funds to at least get that going again. But I also do work with trying to help my father with the Basil Pandey Foundation. You know, unfortunately, poor guy, he was unceremoniously kicked out of Rienzi Complex, and that's where he used to go on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, to help people for free, do letters for them, help them with housing issues, help them with things that they jobs, discrimination, anything, right, to ministers speak to them. So I'm doing that as well, but I have, so helping my parents on that side as they become a little bit older. But I love working with them, children's homes in particular. So that's something that's very, very close to my heart. I feel we talk about children, and when we speak about them, we tend to think just about kids in family set homes, and we forget about those who, many of them who live in not very good conditions. There's really, really bad lack of funding in terms of helping these homes. I mean, Ministry of Social Development and does whatever it can. But a lot of children come, they're sent by Children's Authority, and they need help. They need help. They need support. They need people to be there to talk to them, to show them love. From a very young age also, I really think the elderly is so important. They too have been completely neglected. We don't show the reverence and love and care and respect. And sometimes we just don't have the time for the elderly. And people will be amazed if you visit homes and chat with them how much you could learn. It's so, so important. But getting back to kids, and definitely visiting schools, and there are things that you can put on social media and there are things that you can't, except we live in a day and age that if it's not on Facebook, it didn't happen. But in some cases, that's too bad. Their children are going through very, very serious situations in this country, and they will limit in what we can do. But I've got to tell you, there's some great people out there and businesses out there and supermarkets and, you know, things like that have been extremely helpful. So whatever in our capacity that we can do, and citizens as well, my God, you know, you reach out to people and you'd be amazed. So many people in this country want to help. They just don't know how. They don't, they may not know what charities are out there or how to reach out to them and things like that. But people have been great. And I also feel it's important to get young people involved, because for me, something that's important and close to my heart is that I feel we have to bring back a sense of social consciousness in Trinidad and Tobago. And what I mean by that is being aware of the people around you and what they're going through. You don't need any kind of big charity and things to help. Something as simple as there's so many grants available out there. People don't know how to go online to do it, how to do this, how to do that. Young people can do that within their communities, you know. Help the lesser able and the lesser fortunate. You can do it. You can do it. The time that you're taking to be on social media and things like that, you say, okay, auntie, you grew up and, you know, there's this grant available, but you need three quotations by the hardware. You can go out. You can do things. We all can do things. That's my point, you know. And I don't think that I'm doing any more or better than anybody else. But for me, social consciousness amongst young people, I mean, Satish, to be honest, and I go on about it so much, I feel people get fed up. But, you know, like in schools, we all go to the zoo and we go to the botanical gardens and things. You know, if we took kids to homes to be with other kids and to be with granny and grandpa, mama, aji, aja, you know, that kind of thing, an hour, make some cheese-based sandwiches or whatever it is and go, you'd be amazed when you plant seeds in young people. How much that does. That's what happened to me. That's what I feel. And going back in the theme of International Women's Day, I've been surrounded by powerful, strong women all my life. So on that side, many people and the gentleman from Princesstown may know this because they were from St. Julian. So mine used to be called Big Boss. That's my dad's mother. And look after the whole village and this. And, I mean, just powerful, powerful woman. And of course, on my mom's side, my ma, she wasn't probably as outspoken, but I learned so much humanitarianism and kindness and sharing. But the people looking at that, but the people and the children right next door, this is in Tunibo, who live in a galvanized, we even call it a house, you know, and helping and coming over and you're planting this and you're giving the neighbor this and you're caring and this one and you walk down the road and take food and you have to walk down to Kapalani's with your elderly aunt. And I think those things matter. I think to me, it's seeds that are planted and they will grow and they will grow. And we miss that in Trinidad now, a sense of social consciousness and caring about each other and our peers and so those things matter to me. So yeah. Going to schools. I talk too much. Sorry.
Let's take a call.
Sorry.
I think there's someone here. Hey, good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
I would consider myself a young voter. I'm not 40, you know, pushing that age. And I remember very fondly, you know, how things were under your father's tenure as prime minister. You know, things looked great. But as a growing as a maturing voter, you know, I am following you on social media, but I have two questions. One is that, you and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you seem to be a bit quiet when it comes to addressing serious issues on the political landscape, you know. And I'm not saying you have to bash the government or the opposition, but, you know, there are lots of critical issues now that are circulating that I find you very quiet. Secondly, there are a lot of persons who may say that, you know, you are here and leveraging on your father's success what have you done to break out of that? You know, I was fortunate enough to be at your lunch, I think it was in 2017, 2018, at the Jackson Quarter, you know, where you spoke so eloquently. But, you know, I think from since then, you have not been as ramped up or revved up as you should be, you know, coming close to another general election in 2 years. What do you have to say about that?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your questions. If you mean quiet in terms of social media, yes. But let me tell you, I speak to people in the media about issues constantly. They're not reported. So maybe you're right. I need to get a social media team and start putting things out. Talking about writing letters to the editor, doing things, visiting ministers, issues that people are going through, particular issue right now where the two elderly people have passed away because the road is not there. So yeah, I could probably use, and I thank you for it, because it's nice to hear people looking from the other side and say, well, listen, you know, we haven't been hearing anything. And to be honest, I think it is it's a breath of fresh air, and maybe through social media that's better. But when I can go on programs and things like that, absolutely. You can make a statement. You can write a statement. You can do a video. You can do, talk to people in the media and whatever way you can. These are reporters, right? Trinidad doesn't have too many journalists anymore, but you have reporters and you do it. When it comes time for the editor to decide, the media in Trinidad and Tobago picks who they want to report. What's in duty is more important than talking about, and what affairs is having is more important than talking about a serious issue. So yes, in terms of going on to shows, everybody can tell you, speak about issues that are happening, to speak about issues of crime, to speak about issues of the judiciary. Of course, I take wonderful opportunities that are presented to me, but I think people definitely need to hear more, and they need to hear more now. So maybe just in what you're saying to me, because I don't look at it as criticism, I look at it as something to benefit from, maybe we have to start looking at holding meetings something like that.
I think we have another call. Let's see what this is.
I wanted to answer his question. Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead. Answer the question and we get to the call.
Yeah, because I know I'm just here to 8:20, so but I want to answer him. I don't want people to feel that I'm blocking some things, you know. And he says, you know, about my father's success, that there are people who would tell you the absolute opposite. You'll always be as compared to your father. He's a great man. And he is a great man. And his successes will always exist. I've got to build my own. And that's what I intend to do. And to do better. And to learn from mistakes and things like that. But, you know, you have people whose fathers have been in politics. Justin Trudeau was a teacher, and then his father was in politics, and he went in. And in Trinidad, we like to criticize. I don't know if anybody ever asks Brian how that feels. Maybe they feel differently to Mr. Pandey than they feel to Mr. Pandey, and that's how it is. But, you know, my father's successes will always exist. He's an icon in this country, and I'm proud to do that. And, you know, if you give me the opportunity, you'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I think we have another call.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, thank you.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Satish and Ms. Pandey. Ms. Pandey?
Good morning.
I just want to touch on two things. I want to mention two things to you. And one, that topic you're on about charity is very, very good topic. And I would like to see you reach it to the government to do all this work. It will be better. You could be better off in government with your charity work. And I want you on the right road, you come to the right avenue this morning to talk about charity, because the callers on this program here, we are all familiar with Satish, and he does a lot of that work. So we are not strange to that, and that is just inviting the callers here more and to get involved in charity through Mr. Satish. He's always in front here. That is so, but all right, and that aspect, that principle of yours, could put you in government for that. This is what we need right now in this country. to see about people, get together and help people. And second thing is, I like that aspect of your life, that principle you have there. And I want to just say something to you. Now that Mr. Pandey, the Pandeys and others do not have anything hanging over their shoulder, like with the court and so on, now the name, you could say, clear. I hope Mrs. Bisasa could reach out to you all. Nobody can say, well, they're this and they're that. I don't want to use a negative term. Now you're clear. You could face the public. And if she does, well, you accept and make one strong party so your dreams of charity could come through in a bigger way and this country. I have no doubt that if you all are in government, the UNC as it was before, together with partnership and this partnership, and the cup came from the UNC with Mr. Dukra, and he said, buddy, come back together. We got to run this country good enough. So I wish that aspect to happen. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. I just it makes me feel so happy when I hear things like that, and obviously to end on something positive. I think, yes, Uncle, thank you for that, just being able to not have that as almost an excuse sometimes for people to always have something to throw at you in the political arena. That is now gone, and it's gone permanently and gone forever. I just want to say one thing, you know, in closing, because I know we're talking much and you have ads and stuff to do, so I just want to say one thing. Anytime Mrs. Bisasa or anybody from the UNC reaches out, of course we will meet. Many people have tried, and Mrs. Bisasa, unfortunately, has not wanted to. I want to tell you that I have tried numerous occasions. I mean, I've gone to her house, written things, put it in the post box, called, text. People make decisions for what they feel is the right thing to do. And I don't know what that decision is being based on, but I respect other people and I continue to respect Mrs. Bisasa. And if this is the way that she wants it to be, that's okay. But I want to make it very clear that there's never been a time where we have been called upon or where we have not offered our services. In fact, my father went to her house in 2011 saying, you tell me what you need me to do and I will help you. And nobody has to know. So we have always been there. This is not the party that my father has formed. But you could continue saying all kinds of different things. We are there to help. It's just, you know, to put this country in a good position to move forward. We've always been there to help, contrary to what anybody has ever said. And again, behind the scenes, lots of things go on, but it does come down to a leader's decision. And if a leader decides that that's not what they want, well, that's not what they want. And like everything else, you know, we end where we began, you know, it is what it is. And you take it on the shoulder and you move on with dignity and grace.
If I were to ask you as we end our interview, as I did with my prior guests, for the women listening in to us, women in all elements of their life, all stages, from the young ones in school, to those just out of school, fresh out of, and looking to make a difference, women who are facing challenges in various elements of their life, if you'd have to give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
Stay true to yourself and don't listen to noise. Too much noise out there. And then I mean that is who's saying that, who is saying this, who wants anything you want to do. We are lucky as women in the country that we live in. There's much, much more that we can do, but we are lucky in that we can achieve and be what we want. You have had a woman prime minister, woman president, woman president of the Senate, woman speaker of the House. We've achieved the highest positions in this country, and we could be whoever we want. We have the opportunity to education just as boys do. They're children. I have friends in Afghanistan, in Kabul. They've stopped girls from going to school. Take advantage of the brilliant opportunities offered to you. And you don't all have to be doctors and lawyers and things like that. We need everybody to contribute, to do their part, and we could do whatever we want. But don't trample on anybody while you're trying to get there.
Words of advice, Makila Pandey, thank you. for being with us
Thank
here this
you,
morning.
Thank you.
It's been a pretty interesting discussion as always, and I'm sure that we will speak again in the not too distant future on many
Call
other things.
Call me. Welcome. I'll come anytime. Thank you.
Thank you once again.
Thank you.
That's how we drop this curtains on this interview this morning.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.